You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As usual, we start off with how the markets have been performing. It's certainly been quite the day, and I'm joined on the line by portfolio manager and director at Rand Swiss, Gary Boyson, to take a look at what this all looks like. Good evening, Gary. Lovely to speak to you. I actually don't even know where to start. Do we start in the east? Do we start in the west? Is there anything in the green? Let's start on one end of the world and make our way through it, I suppose.
Yeah, there's not much in the green at the moment. I think the only thing in the green is probably the dollar index. We woke up this morning with, I think the Nikkei was down around 8%. Moved down past 12% during the end of the trading session. So, a lot of the jitters that we saw in the U.S. markets on Friday just feeding through. Remember on Friday we had that big sell-off in Intel, missed earnings expectations, a couple of problems with their chip. Chips sent that stock down almost 30%. It's down another 6.5% today. That kind of pessimism around the big tech stocks has kind of filtered into Japan and the Eastern markets. But Japan specifically also having a very, very difficult day. A lot of kind of the older Nikkei traders saying that this feels like Black Monday, 1987. There's no real reason for the sell-off, but obviously markets getting absolutely hammered. Now, if you look at it, part of the reason probably for that the Nikkei sell-off this morning was the fact that the central banks, the Bank of Japan, hiked its interest rate by 25 basis points. And you've got to remember that Japan has a debt to GDP ratio of 263%. So what's happened is with that rate hike, you've seen a big strengthening in the yen. That's taken a lot of shine off the off the Nikkei itself. And if I look at the yen at the moment, it's bouncing off lows, but it's gone from kind of trading around 160 down to around 144. So an absolutely enormous move in the currency of the world's third largest economy. And part of that, I also think, is some safe haven appeal just filtering through there. So that was the east that we walked into this morning, and that just fed into Europe and the South African markets as well. So we had the All Share Index finishing around, call it 1.2% down. It was led lower by the resource index that finished around 1.5% down, but it was a lot lower during the day. So just coming off the lows towards the end of towards the market close. We had the likes of the FTSE down over 2% in Paris and Germany, also down well over 1%. So everything really falling today, and we have we had the Nasdaq down around 3% when it opened. S&P 500 also down 3%. Those have managed to rally a little bit, sitting around 2.2% down each at the moment. And you would think with a market like this, you might see some relief in a safe haven like gold. Generally, you expect it to be negatively correlated to the overall market. Even that's down almost 2%. So gold trading currently at around $2,400 per fine ounce.
So markets are clearly not having a good day. This is not something that looks like it's going to change anytime soon. And obviously, one has to wonder, I mean, what the sell-off potentially means. I mean, I noted that Warren Buffett sold $75 billion worth of Apple shares. Now, typically when a titan like Warren does something, the markets take notice. And if Warren's freeing up cash and deciding to be cash heavy and not tech stocks heavy, is he predicting a crash?
Well, I don't know if he's predicting a crash, but for an investor that really does favor buy and hold, it's a massive signal to markets that he considers things to be a little bit too frothy, specifically in the tech space. But at the same time, it's very difficult. So Warren Buffett, obviously, an incredible legacy as an investor, and you do feel, and we kind of chat about it in the office, at 93 years old, he's kind of feeding into the end, and he doesn't want to destroy the Berkshire Hathaway legacy. So, typically is a little bit more conservative than maybe the Warren Buffett of yesteryear. But certainly you can't argue with the fact that tech stocks are incredibly expensive. There's a lot baked into the tech industry. And when you have news that the Oracle of Omaha is selling his tech position, that just feeds into the panic that we're seeing after a number of the big tech stocks missed estimates, or even if they didn't miss estimates, just flagged some concerns. Remember, these are priced for perfection. So anything that just looks slightly suspicious does result in quite aggressive price swings as well.
I think what surprised me the most about Berkshire and liquidating half of their Apple position is the fact that in one could see it as taking profits, but in the same breath, some of those positions might not have been something where they would have wanted to liquidate at this stage. But being as conservative as you mentioned that he is, everybody knows that you'd rather, he's always been a very big proponent of you play it safer than sorry, you're in it for the long haul. And if someone like that is sensing some trouble within the market, then maybe there is more that we need to pay attention to. And speaking of things we need to pay attention to, there's been new rumors as early as today around the fact that the US might be in for emergency rate cuts. I don't even know what an emergency rate cut looks like, because we just came out of an FOMC meeting last week where we got nothing, and now the markets are doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Warren Buffett obviously saying cash is a fantastic option. It's an option on the market that you don't have to pay premium on. But yeah, so it's so interesting, an emergency rate cut. This was actually called for by Professor Emeritus at Wharton, Jeremy Siegel, saying that he believes that the Fed funds rate should be somewhere between 3.5% and 4%, saying that, you know, an emergency rate cut would be one out of the typical cycle. So I think we've got around 44 days to go until we get the September meeting. That's where, you know, up until now, it was largely expected that they would cut rates by around 25 basis points. If I look at the Fed funds futures at the moment, we've basically fully priced in a 50 basis point rate cut. Now, what Jeremy Siegel is saying is, you know, we need an emergency rate cut after the non-farm payroll numbers on Friday of 75 basis points immediately. And when we get to the 18th of September, we're going to need another 75 basis points cut off. You know, that's obviously very unprecedented. And, you know, looking at those non-farm payroll numbers on Friday, we saw a much weaker labor market, but it's nothing that we haven't seen before. So looking at it, the expectation was for around 175,000 new jobs to be added. The market printed at 114,000 jobs to be added. So yes, didn't add as many jobs. We're hoping for the unemployment rate actually to stay level at around 4.1%. It came in at 4.3%. And average hourly earnings, which obviously put a lot of upward pressure on inflation and really does feed into anyone's model around inflation expectations. We're expected to come in at 3.7% growth. It came in at 3.6% growth. So yes, it was a miss across the board, but it wasn't a huge miss. Yet the market's absolutely panicked in this and are now saying that, you know, now we're getting calls for emergency rate cuts, and you know, this is a terrible situation. You know, one of the it's actually a UBS economist that I follow just saying that it's strange because this is nothing that we didn't know. We know the Fed has been delaying, and a lot of the markets have been calling saying, you know, these rates need to be lower, and the Fed has kind of you know, left them higher a little bit longer. And the real problem comes in that with monetary policy, this is typically 12 to 18 months forward looking. So if you're looking at a data point like the non-farm payrolls figures, if you're looking at labor market moves in July, that's a backward looking number. And when you're tweaking monetary policy, you need to be looking out a year. And I think what that payroll number just did, it just reinforced the fact that the Fed hasn't moved fast enough to cut interest rates, and that we could be in for a real U.S. recession now. And that soft landing that we are hoping for is going to be a lot bumpier than expected. So I think, it's certainly panic markets a lot. But I mean, how deep the sell-off is going to be, yeah, interest rate cuts does look like they're gonna come. I mean, we're talking about potentially 4 interest rate cuts by January next year. That's going to be in every single meeting. Some of them may potentially more than 25 basis points. So that's going to make monetary, at least money, it's going to make capital a lot cheaper. And that typically is good for equity markets. So potentially a buying opportunity at the moment.
Buying opportunities amidst all the chaos, and we still have a US election to get through. This is going to be an exciting second half of the year. I'm certainly looking forward to it. And I know Gary and I are going to chat about this in many, many conversations. But for now, we've run out of time. We're going to have to leave it at that. Gary Boyson, thanks as always for the time. Portfolio manager and director at Rand Swiss, joining me to reflect on the sea of red that was today and the fact that there is still hope.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.